Please join us today for a special sermon by Dr. Philip Geisler. He is the head of Team Jesus for Africa and has made many teaching trips to that continent. You are listening to Benefit from the Bible.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you on this Sunday after Christmas from God our Father who sent the baby of Bethlehem, from our Lord Jesus who came in order to redeem us, and from the Holy Spirit who guides our minds to understand. In the name of the triune God, amen. The theme for today is 40 and counting, and it has a cast of characters. We'll meet Mary, Joseph, Jesus, Simeon, Anna, and especially the Holy Spirit who made it all possible. Let's get started, and you have a sheet before you with the entire text and supporting text for today's message. And let us read, first of all, the section from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 24, difficult if you do not know how to divide it. It is color-coded, so we know how to divide it. When the time came for them, that is Mary and Joseph, to be purified, Joseph not to be purified, but Joseph to carry out the obligation of getting Mary to Jerusalem so she could be purified, according to the law of Moses, therefore Joseph and Mary took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn boy shall be called holy to the Lord. They also went to offer a sacrifice, according to what the law of the Lord states, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. We need to divide this into two parts, the purification of Mary and the presentation of Jesus. They went to the temple 40 days or more after Jesus was born in order to perform these two actions. We have people in action today. Mary, Joseph, Jesus, first of all. As you see under A, Mary's purification, that is inviolate to go with the words that are inviolate up in the text, because you have to jump from the first part to the last part in order to understand what Luke is writing. I read it again to you under Mary's purification. When the time came for them to be purified, they went to offer a sacrifice, a burnt offering and a sin offering, according to what the law of the Lord states, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. I will permit you to read the Leviticus passage that's below at home and digest it. I will simply summarize it this way. After a woman gave birth to a baby, she was considered unclean. In relation to a male baby, she was unclean for 40 days. First of all, 7 days, and then the baby would be circumcised at their home or in the synagogue, but she was not to have it circumcised at the temple, because she could not go to the temple until another 33 days, a total of 40, in order to be purified for bringing a sinner into the world. What? Jesus wasn't sinful. Then why would she have to go through this ceremony that had been commanded in the Old Testament? There's a simple reason to it. Even though Jesus was pure, yet he was sinful. How can that be? What does Isaiah say? He was counted with sinners. All of our sins were laid upon him. And so, in view of the future, when he would be counted as a sinner, Mary has to be purified for bringing this sinless sinner into the world. Wow, there's a paradox. That's in the mysteries of God. He lays these things out. And when they came, they were to offer two turtle doves or two young pigeons, says Luke. But he leaves out a part that's not necessary for his reporting, because if you were wealthy, you were to offer a lamb and a turtle dove. With our inflation costs today, the lamb would have been about $5 and the turtle dove about 50 cents. But by the fact that Luke does not mention the lamb means that when Jesus went from Bethlehem to the temple after 40 days, the wise men had not been there yet. I know we always put them in the manger scene, don't we? Nothing wrong with that. But if they had been there, then Mary and Joseph would have had gold, because they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they would have had the money to pay for a lamb. But you see, God isn't going to have the wise men come until after Mary and Joseph and Jesus are done with the purification and the presentation at the temple, because after that they went back to Bethlehem, where they intended to live the rest of their lives. Now, God had another plan. Later on, he would get them up into Nazareth. But for the time being, they went back. The baby grew. And as Pastor will treat later, well, that gave Jesus time to get strong in order to make the trip to Egypt when they had to flee after the visit of the wise men. But back to the temple. Mary and Joseph went there, Joseph taking obligation to get the family to carry out what the law of Moses said. You see, if Jesus would not have been brought, and if Mary would not have done this, this would have been sin, and Jesus could not have been our Savior. So God gets a godly man like Joseph to carry out everything that's supposed to be done, to get his wife there for purification and his son there for presentation. B. Jesus' presentation. The red part of your text up above. Let me read it once again, because we have now a second action. According to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn boy shall be called holy to the Lord. Wow, is this involved? I'll let you read the three passages that are below. The Exodus and then two Numbers passages. The other Numbers one is on the other side of your sheet. I'll simply summarize. Shortly before the Israelites left Egypt on the Exodus to the Holy Land, God said, out of all the 12 tribes, remember the 12 tribes were the sons of Jacob or Israel, every firstborn boy belongs to me and must serve as a priest before me. And there was a way to buy a son back so that he would not have to be a priest. It was called redemption, to redeem. I'm sure you connect that already with Jesus, that there's going to be something here about him being the redeemer or the one who buys us back. Now, as time progressed and the children of Israel multiplied in the wilderness, there were too many priests. A number of mothers had not paid the 5 shekels of silver, and so their sons were obligated to be priests. And so God, so that things wouldn't be too cumbersome in the tabernacle and later in the temple with priests tripping over priests as they were doing sacrifice, said, I'm going to do it this way. There is in the tribe of Levi, and they did a census in the book of Numbers, there are 22,000 Levites. And then they counted the other 11 tribes, all the firstborn in those tribes, and there was 22,273. Well, God said, a Levite will substitute for every firstborn of the other 11 tribes. Problem. There were 273 left over who could not be substituted for. So God said, here is what you do. If you have a firstborn son from those other 11 tribes, and you want to buy him back, pay 5 shekels of silver in the temple. Present him 40 days after his birth, up to a year later. But if you do not pay the 5 shekels of silver, then that firstborn from those other 11 tribes is obligated in order to serve as a priest. Do you think it is by chance that in the temple, when Jesus was presented, there was an old lady by the name of Anna? Do you know how to say Anna in Hebrew? Hannah. Oh, Hannah. You see it spelled down there on the other side of the sheet at the bottom. Significant. Why? Do you remember the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel? She could not have a child. She said to the Lord in prayer, if you will give me a baby boy, I will have him serve as a priest forever while he's here on this earth. And when baby Samuel was born, she dedicated him to the Lord as a firstborn. She was not from the tribe of Levi, however. She would have had to pay 5 shekels of silver to buy Samuel back so he would not be a priest. But she had made a promise. So she did not pay the 5 shekels of silver. And Samuel grew up under Eli and became a great prophet and priest in the kingdom of Israel. Now we have the reverse. We have Mary coming and Joseph. They will pay the 5 shekels of silver. They will do the opposite of Hannah. Now Jesus is bought back so that he does not have to be a priest. You see, God didn't want a servant who had to be something. He didn't want a robot to save you and me who said, I love you because I have to. No, Jesus loved his Father because he wanted to. He said, whatever your will is, Father, you tell me, and if it's that I go to the cross, I go. And of course, then comes the fulfillment of the most quoted psalm, the most quoted passage of the Old Testament in the New Testament. Psalm 110, last verse, says, he will be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Abraham ran into a man by the name of Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God in Salem or Jerusalem. Long before there was a Jacob, long before there was a Levi who came among the 12 sons of Jacob, and Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, where the law later said all tithes should be paid to Levi. And the Bible says Jesus will be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Not because he has to, but because he wants to lay his life down for you and me. Because he loved us, wanted to save us, wanted to bring glory to his Father in heaven. And so Mary did pay the 5 shekels of silver, bought him back, so that he could willingly become a priest for you and me. I told you involved, right? We'll show you how involved in just a little bit. Now we move on to the next part. Simeon. After we learn about Jesus being the priest forever, and you know, being the firstborn, God will not pass over him at Calvary, but he will strike him down, just like he struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, but not the firstborn of the Israelites, all involved. But now comes Simeon. It says here, now there was a man in Jerusalem by the name of Simeon. He was a righteous man. Does that mean that he had no sin? No, he was righteous in Christ. Old Testament people were saved by looking forward to the Messiah. And that would mean that as they looked forward and believed, their sins were forgiven in advance. So they were righteous already by faith. Well, he was a man who feared God, and he was waiting for the one who would comfort Israel. Who's this comforter? I thought it was the Holy Spirit. Didn't Jesus say, I send unto you another comforter? That's right. That was the Holy Spirit. But by putting the word another in front means that Jesus was the first comforter. Oh, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the one who would comfort Israel. Oh, the Holy Spirit was upon him. In other words, he was filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit had told him, remember, God will talk to his people often in the Old Testament outside the scriptures when he wants to. And he had told Simeon that before he would die, he would see the Christos, the Mashiach, the Christ who was the Messiah, the one sent by the Lord. Well, moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple at the same time that Mary and Joseph and Jesus were there. When the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law, namely to present him, Simeon took Jesus into his arm and he praised God. Now that's something I always like to talk about for a moment. He's praising the Father. I think most of us think, oh, Christmas, that's the festival of the Son. No, it isn't. The festival of the Son is Easter, and the festival of the Holy Spirit is Pentecost. But the festival of Christmas is to bring glory and honor to God the Father. Glory to God in the highest heaven, the Father. For he loved the world so much that he sent his one and only Son to Bethlehem. And so Simeon praises God the Father, and he said, and now the word you know so well. We call it in Latin, in our hymn book and bulletin, the Nunc Dimittis. Why Latin? Because it came from the liturgy of the Roman Catholic Church before Luther had the Reformation. And Luther kept everything that was good. He kept the terminology. And what does Nunc Dimittis mean? It means now letting depart. And you remember, Lord, now let your servant depart. As it says here, why? Well, let him depart in peace, in shalom. And Jesus is our peace from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, we are told. And God promised, why? Because my eyes have seen your salvation. Capitalized because it's a name for our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who saves, salvation. He is the Savior. And what has God done? Well, he prepared that salvation, that Jesus, for all people to see. This is always an emphasis in the Gospel of Luke. He is the gospel for all people. He died for all, is how Paul says it in Corinthians. And so he says this is for all people to see the Savior. And what are the two titles given to him? A light to shine on the Gentiles, a glory of your people Israel. We use those terms, don't we? When we think about a light, to shine on the Gentiles, we are remembering, and I would suspect that probably everybody who is here today is a non-Jew, is a Gentile. But if there's a Jewish person here today, we also pray to them because he is the glory of his people Israel, the Jewish people. He came to save both Jew and Gentile. As it says very well in Isaiah chapter 60, which is the great Christmas reading, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Israel is upon you." And so it all fits together. We continue with our text. We are now at D on your outline on the second part of your sheet. And the title is "The Mystery of the Incarnation." And let me explain the word incarnation to you. Remember, it's made up of two words, in and carnis in Latin. Carnis is your word for flesh. You know the word in. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ came in flesh. That was his incarnation. Well, the mystery of the incarnation remains a mystery to Mary and Joseph. Now, I know that Mary is venerated so much in some churches that she almost has all the powers of God. But the scriptures never present it that way. Jesus told her, and I don't want to sound too rough, but in a way he said, at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, "Mind your own business." I often tell my students in Sudan who want to know something that they shouldn't know, I tell them, get your nose out of God's business. Your business is to believe, even though you can't understand. And Mary was like you and me. Oh, very blessed to be sure that she became the mother of God, if you will, as we say in theology. But at the same time, she was a sinner like you and me, and she did not have all the omniscience of God. She did not know all things, nor did Joseph. And this remains a mystery to them. All these things that are being said at the temple by Simeon. And so it says here in Luke 2:33, his father and mother were surprised at the things that were being said about him. You'd think they understood all this. The angel had appeared, but it was about as clear as mud because the veils of revelation had not yet been taken off. And I would remind you of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, where it says, "Without a doubt, great is the mystery of godliness. God was made flesh." And the things surrounding that birth and all the things that were supposed to be done, well, they remained a mystery to Mary and to Joseph, also to Simeon and Anna, but not to the Holy Spirit, who would give other things for Simeon to say. Move to E, please. Simeon prophesies about unbelief and faith in terms of the death of Jesus. Here's what the text says. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "Here is what this one is appointed for." Here's what's going to happen to this baby. "Many in Israel will fall and rise," or fall and rise again, "because of him. And he will be a sign." That's a name for Jesus. It's the special Greek word, semion. It means miracle. He's going to be a miracle. A miracle that will show people things. But he's going to be a sign that many will speak against. And we remember the opposition against Jesus during his ministry, correct? Now, many fell at the name of Jesus. Sometimes he would say hard things, and the scripture says, from that time on, they didn't follow him anymore. But there were others who were converted and said, he is the Christ. And then there were those who denied him, but later on accepted him through faith. That's kind of a prediction of Pentecost, isn't it? That many of those who had been opposed to him and said, "Crucify him," they were converted among the 3,000 on Pentecost.
Well, based on our time, we need to break off there for today, but we invite you to go to benefitfromthebible.com for the important and exciting conclusion to this sermon. Again, visit us at benefitfromthebible.com. We also invite you to join us on Sundays at 8 o'clock and 10:45, also on Mondays at 7 p.m. at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, 7500 State Road in Parma, Ohio.